want you to go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I got something I want to give you tonight. I am going to give you my heart tonight, what I really desire. I'm going to be as transparent as I can be tonight. This is what I want. This is what I desire tonight. 1 Chronicles 12 and 38. If you're there, say amen. Stand. Let's honor God's word. I personally believe the King James Bible is the preserved word of God. I believe when I preach it, I'm preaching the inspired, infallible word of God. I don't have time for the messes and the people and the liberals that want to deny it. I'm just going to keep preaching it. And you say, well, I just don't believe in it. Then one, God's name you hear. Because that's all you're going to get if you're here. You ain't getting nothing else. You ain't getting the HIV, NIV, ASV, or whatever it be. Amen. Yeah, you're getting this. 1 Chronicles 12. I promised myself to be a sweet young man, and here I go already. Are you there in verse 38? I'll be going through this whole chapter, but I just want to give you these ending verses to lay a foundation of where I'll go in a moment. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make King David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Boy, that's good there. And there they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on ashes and on camels and on mules and on oxen and meat and meal, cakes of figs, bunches of raisins and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly. For there was joy in Israel. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for the liberty I sense tonight. Help me preach with power, with precision, with humility, realizing you're the King. Lord, I'm thankful that you're King of kings and Lord of lords. I pray tonight that you'll just help us all get connected to what I'll be preaching tonight. I believe it'll change the church. I believe it'll change our homes, our lives, if we could just get connected to this thought tonight. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. By the way, before I preach, this is a great Sunday night crowd. It's encouraging to see a big Sunday night crowd. But if we had a little Sunday night crowd, that's a lot better than most churches doing tonight. Somebody say amen. That's just how I feel about it. I want you to go with me back to the kingship of David. First of all, I want you to know Saul was the first king of Israel. But if you know the Bible, Saul disobeyed God. By the way, obedience is better than sacrifice. Saul's replacement was David. David replaced Saul before Saul actually got off the throne. You remember when David was chosen king. You remember how that Samuel went down to the house of Jesse. And by the way, that's a wonderful story. And you and I don't do things like God does. But Samuel brought, Jesse brought his 7 chief boys out in front of Samuel. I'm talking about them guys that had the Hulk Hogan arms. I'm talking about fellas that emulate the pastor. I'm talking about some stout dudes.
Amen.
I thought that would get your attention. He brought seven of them, and every time one came, I can just see Samuel say, seven uh-uhs. Then he said, you got any more? And Jesse said, yeah, I got a little redhead out there in the field. He's just 17 years old, just a kid. And I never forget what Samuel said, fetch him. And I want you to know, when he fetched him and brought him before Samuel anointed him king that day, though he was not king yet, though he wasn't in the activist king, he, in God's mind, in the Samuel's mind, was declared king. By the way, you know the story. Saul tried to kill David several occasions. I don't know if you know this part of the story, but David could have killed Saul. Oh yeah, he had him dead to rights. You know what he done, didn't you? Tell me what he done. Didn't he
cut off his skirt?
Didn't he just get a little of this? I'd hate to ruin your suit tonight, but just cut off a little of the skirt, just to kind of remind Saul, you could have got it, son. Somebody help me preach right there. He showed him mercy at this time in context. Saul's son Ishbosheth was king of the northern 10 tribes. And David was the king of Judah and the two southern tribes. Here's what's happened. Ishbosheth, I'm somewhere in that long line, died. And now the north and the southern kingdoms were uniting under David. The entire nation was coming together to make David king. I want you to know tonight, I've been running in this way for 38 and a half years. I desired it when I was a 27-year-old boy when I came to this church. Amy, I still desire it. I want to make Jesus king. I want him to be king. I want him to be exalted in this church. I want our membership to lift up Jesus. Amen. The hope's not in our programs, in our popularity, in Hollywood, in money, in religion. Our hope is in God. And in Christ. Amen. I realize that society is swallowed up in muck and mire. Hollywood is drowning people. And by the way, you are about half out of your mind if you follow that crap. Amen. I'll tell you what. When our president was his inauguration, and then the next day, that bunch went up there to the near the White House and protested. And I watched the likes of Ashley Judd. She's an idiot. I won't even watch her shows no more. I don't even want to listen to her sing. You listen to her sing, you ought not be left alone by yourself. And Madonna. Want to blow up the White House. Ain't they spiritual? Bunch of rebels. I want you to know what God wants tonight. Jeff, he wants to get a group of people. Man, there's enough people in this room right here. I'm telling you, there's enough people in this room right here. If every one of you people in this room tonight make him king, this place is going bonkers. I want you to know we had done a lot in 38 and a half years, but ladies and gentlemen, we had not scratched the surface. If we can some way, not allow the devil to divide us, not allow our kingdom to be divided. That's what was going on here. They had a divided kingdom, and for the first time in a long time, they were getting ready to unite under one king and one authority. And we find at the end of the chapter, this army came and met. But here's what I want to do. I want to take you, I want you to follow me in the Bible. And I want to take you and show you what kind of army makes Jesus king. What kind of church makes Jesus king? What kind of family that makes Jesus king? What kind of man, what kind of woman makes Jesus king? What kind of teenager that makes Jesus king? We need to raise up an army for God. Somebody help me. Hey, we're fighting a battle. We need a real army.
Amen.
Oh, if you'll let me be your usher and the Holy Ghost your guide, let me go show you what kind of army God wants you to be tonight. Go back into the chapter. Let's just study this together. Look at the chapter 12. Back up to chapter 12 and verse 2. When you get there, say amen. Man, I like this here. The Bible says this. They were armed with bows. Listen to this. And could use both the right hand and the left hand in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren, of Benjamin. Now, I want you to know something, friend. That's a lot of times I don't know my right from the left. And a lot of times I'm downright clumsy. But let me show you first of all what they were. This is good right here. They were skilled. If we're going to lift up Jesus, we're going to put him high on a pedestal. We need an army of God's people that are skilled. You said, well, they, number one, they were prepared. I want you to know something. I know some of you are going to probably take this wrong, but that's okay. I want y'all to hear me. I think some of you think, well, Preacher Smith just gets up here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, just opens his mouth, and it automatically comes out. I want you to know if I did that, under God, what would come out? Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. It takes me 8 to 10 hours to do one message. One. I'm doing three. That's 30 hours. That's not my counseling. That's not my daily visits. That's not my praying with my staff. That's not my leadership. That's just studying for three messages. What are you saying, Preacher Smith? If a preacher needs to be prepared, come on, somebody help me. You ought to be prepared. I think if you're in a little young people's group, if you're over little cubbies or puggles or sparkies or whatever you're over, or a Sunday school class, you ought not to wait till Saturday to get prepared. You ought to be skilled. You ought to say, that's my flock. That's the people I'm serving. I'm going in there prepared. Am I preaching? That's the people that give honor to God. They're prepared people. And they're proficient people. They handle their sword. They handle their weapons. By the way, we need some people that are armed in the Word of God. Hey, there's some of you would fight for the King James Bible. But I like to see you just read it once in a while. And study it. You said, man, I stand up for the Bible. If you stand up for it, do you read it every day? Do you pray? Do you study it? Is it your life? Amen. See, I believe we're going to be people who give God the glory. We ought to be skilled people. You know what I want to say to you? God deserves my best. Amen. By the way, I got a little granddaughter works in some of y'all's classes. And I want to brag on you a little bit. I don't know which one she's in. I think she's in cubbies now. She's one of them. I think she's 4 years old. Whoever's in the four-year-old class, I'm talking to you right now. My little granddaughter came out of there the other day. And I'm glad you love her. Amen. She said, I got a great teacher. I try to get him to describe you. You really, I don't know who you are, but you don't want me to try to tell you what you look like to her. said, what did they do for you, Brooke? He said, taught me Bible. Listen to me, Papa. They love me, Papa. Let me tell you something. That goes a long way with Papa. Somebody say amen. See, you ought not to take it for granted that you've got a 2-year-old you're teaching or a 3-year-old. Or if you're in the nursery's over, you're training up champions to serve God. Am I preaching? Y'all still in the Bible? Let me look at verse number 8. Not only were they skilled people, I really believe we ought to be skilled people. See, I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe you're taking the Holy Ghost out of church because you're prepared. You know, God ain't an author of confusion. Amen. Good preaching, Reverend. Look at verse 8. Not only these people that made him king were skilled people. Verse 8, the Bible says they were separated people. And the Gadites, they separated themselves unto David into the hold of the wilderness, men of might, men of war, fit for battle, could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were swift as the roes upon the mountains. They were set apart people. They were serious people. They were swift people. They were special people. I'm going to just tell you something. You cannot march in God's army and not be separated. I'm going to just say this. I'm trying to be sweet tonight. You can't live one's way outside the church and try to live another way inside the church and have the power of God. And I ain't talking about anybody in particular, okay? I'm talking about the prayer. I'm just talking about me. I can't do that and be the right kind of man. Somebody help me preach right there. You really want to? Hey, listen to me. Hey, listen to me. Well, glory. Man, I'll tell you what. You ain't going to be able to shout and cuss at the same time. Huh? You can't pout and praise at the same time. I feel like preaching tonight. They were separated people. I'm going to say something to you. Most of us don't live what we know now. We all know we all love each other. We all know we all love God with all of our might and all of our heart. Somebody help me preach right there. I'm talking about being separated. I hate to think that you folks, you might go out of this church and hear that John Smith's hard-headed. He probably is. But don't talk about me because your head's just about as hard as mine is. You might even say, sometimes I might not be reasonable. So that's probably true. But you ain't heard me. Heard him say, he's living another standard. I'm going to live holy. I'm going to be separated. I'm going to just live the right kind of life. See, if I'm going to give him glory, he's got to have me living holy. Somebody help me preach right here. Am I preaching good? Them people that made him king, they were separated people. Hold on. Don't you ever go out of this church and say, I'm a rude preacher. I know some preachers call women bad names. Have you ever heard me do that? No, nothing but respect. Somebody help me here. I don't call women heifers and call people, but I know some preachers do that, son. By the way, that ain't separation, that's ignorance. We ought to teach our people to learn to live a separated life. Hey, and by the way, I am bogging down, Jared. Listen to me. I think us Baptists have it wrong, and some of you may have it wrong. Sometimes all we preach is separated from something. It's more than that. We need to be separated to something. I personally believe if you ever get separated to God and sold out to God, then your daily life will be different. Amen. Let me go. I got to hurry. Look at verses 16 through 18. Not only they were skilled and separated. I'm trying to get quicker. and they were servants. And there came of the children of Benjamin and in Judah to the hold unto David. And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if you come peacefully unto me to help me, mine heart should be knit unto you. But if you come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers looked thereon and rebuked thee. Listen to this. Then the Spirit came upon Amaziah, who was chief of the captains, and said, thine art we, David, and on thy side. Somebody shout. I've got to give you something here, as easy as I can give it. God wants us, if we're going to lift him up king, then we need to be a servant. Tuesday, have any of y'all ever went home just half whipped, tired, wore out? Have you ever been home after work? And by the way, Tuesday I went home after work, Jeff, and I'm telling you, I was locked, shocked, wore out, messed, tired. And I went down there, put my bent jammies on. I put my lazy boy high as it could get, threw a blanket on my face, and just said, nobody bothered me for the next 3 hours. And then the phone rang and said, Pastor, we need you tonight. I'll be honest with you. I didn't buck. I didn't whine. I just went in there, took my jammies off, put my church going clothes on, and went to where I was needed. You know why? Because I'm a servant here. I don't feel like I'm a high honcho. I'm just a servant. It'd be a great day in your life that you'll get delivered from being a laborer. There's a difference between a laborer in church and a servant in church. A servant does it just because they want to exalt the king. A servant ain't doing it to be seen. The servant don't want any acknowledgement. All the servant wants to do is serve.
Amen.
Am I preaching? Man, I'm giving you some good stuff tonight. You'll grab hold of it. They had loyal support to David. They said, we're on your side, son. They were loving in church. Hey, by the way, you're going to sing the choir? Sing for the choir. Sing for God. You're going to usher for God. If you're going to be a witness for God. If you're going to work in the little kids' classes, you do it for God. You be a servant. You believe in God. You belong to God. You behave for God. Oh, Lord God. I wonder where this church would be if every member would follow those three things. Man, I want to tell you, we'd turn this valley upside down for Christ. There wouldn't be enough room in this church on Sunday night to sit. Number four. Hear me. Oh, this is good. Look at verse 32. Verse 32. If you're there, say amen. This is good. I want you to be there. Not only were they skilled, they were separated, they were servants, but they also were sensible. How many believe that? You say, what do you mean by sensible? Look at verse 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had an understanding of what? Of the times. To know what Israel ought to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we need some sensible people tonight. Ain't none of us ought to be hard to get along with. What was so great about that children of Issachar? They knew the times. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this carefully. There's people that's dropping off into hell every day. And I wonder if we have any clue what's going on. We need to be sensible. We need to understand that our marriages are under attack. There may be some homes here tonight. You're getting a frontal assault from the devil. I say hold on tonight. I say get in love with each other tonight. By the way, you love each other if you start loving Jesus. Hey, single lady, you need to understand the time. I want to tell some of you single young people, teenagers, and some of you looking for a man or looking for a woman. You don't need a hussy. You need a godly person. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Am I preaching right there? Amen. Hey, we need. Hey, listen to me, friend. We need some people that are sensible about it. Hey, listen to me. If you're going to go out and date somebody that's a rebel and a moron, you're going to be married to a moron.
Amen.
You've got to be sensible. Hello. I know today that we can't even know the gender, but you still got to be sensible. I know today that most teenagers spend 11 hours and 10 minutes on social media, but somebody got to know the times.
Amen.
Tell you what most teenagers do. They live in a Smurf world. Yeah, you do. Some of you got air going out of your head. You don't even have anything to block it. Hey, teenager, the best thing you can do is serve God. Best thing you can do is get on God's team. Best thing you can do is lift up the King. Best thing you can do is tell that bunch of people that's trying to pull you aside and get you smoke dope or drink liquor, you tell them to get down the road because you've got more sense than them. Somebody help me preach and say y'all sat back there saying, what's he going to do next?
Amen.
Thank you. Number five. I'm just talking about making him king tonight. Look what else they were. Look at verse 33 and 38. They were sincere people. The Bible said of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank, and they were not double hearted. Oh, somebody help me. Let me read verse 38 again. And all these men of war that could keep rank. I'll tell you, let me give you three things under this thing. They were undefiled by hypocrisy. Hello. By the way, can I give you some good advice tonight? Quit judging people. Quit trying to put yourself on some pedestal. You're not God. Hello. Let me give you a little something here. Huh? They could keep rank. That means, you know what that means? Do you have a clue what that means? That means that the corporals weren't trying to be a colonel. That means the captains weren't trying to be the general. Hey, by the way, they just won captain of this church anyway. His name ain't John Smith. His name Jesus. All I am is this boy to help lead John. See, keeping rank means this. You know your place. You know the order where God wants you. And you don't try to be something you're not. Hello. Hey, God didn't call y'all a pastor. He called me the pastor. And by the way, if you had my job, you wouldn't keep it. He said, I ain't wanting that. Every Monday, I write out my resignation. And Marguerite says, go up there and tell them people you don't love God anymore. And ain't that a good thing? You know what we need, Chan? We need to take the facade off and be sincere.
Yes,
by the way, being sincere will take you a long ways in life.
Amen.
Hey, I'm not talking about worshiping people. I'm not talking about you think you got to be something. I'm talking about being sincere.
Amen.
Being in rank.
That's right.
Am I preaching? And some of you in your home, you know what? It's a mess. Y'all's not sincere. You're really not trying to do right. You're not together. Some people in the church, they're just not sincere. Huh? I know I'm not perfect. Far from it. But I will tell you what I am. I'm sincere. I sincerely want to see God move. I sincerely want to make Him king.
Amen.
I sincerely want to declare He's Lord of lords and King of kings.
Amen. Right, preacher.
I'll tell you what. We take this thing here, church. We take what we got so for granted. Amen. We take it for granted. Amen. If it ever got taken away from you, you know what I mean by taking it for granted. You go out there, some church don't even have church on Sunday night, and all they do is bingo and bunches of junk. You know what I mean by real church. Somebody ought to say amen, preacher. All we're trying to do is make Him king. They were upheld by humility. Kept rank. They were united in heart. I wonder what happened tonight. I just wonder what would happen tonight if every one of you got on the same page with Jesus.
Amen.
You know what we had this morning, Brother Denny? That's what we would have all the time. We'd be coming in here not worrying about who's singing, who's doing what, who's ushering, who the deacon is. You know what we'd be doing? We'd always be saying, praise God to the King. Praise God for Jesus. Hallelujah for Jesus.
Amen.
Man, let's just get united. Why don't we tonight decide we're going to unite in heart? So we can turn this valley upside down for God. Let me go on. I got 2 minutes. If we go by the clock. Look with me. Y'all still in that chapter? Look down in verse number 39, 40. And they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking with their brethren, and they had prepared for them. Moreover, they were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses, and on camels, and on mules, and on oxen, and on meat, and on meal, and cakes of figs, and bunches of raisins, and wine, and oil, and oxen, and sheep abundantly. For there was joy in Israel. I'll tell you what kind of people they were. They were sacrificial people. By the way, how many of you hate having a dinner on the grounds and everybody's supposed to bring a pot and somebody don't bring their pot? I was taught when I was a boy, if I'm going to go to a dinner, I'm going to bring something. Now I'm going somewhere, Jerry. You've seen them big, beautiful pictures of the future of Taith Valley Baptist Church. We're going to get that. It's going to be because somebody's sacrificial. Somebody help me. You know, I don't really care if you say something about how the finances are done here, as long as you give some. But don't come here and complain about how things are going to be done if you don't give a dime in sight. I said I was going to be sweet as bubblegum tonight. They brought selflessly. They brought substantially. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this to you tonight. If you're in a church and you don't pay your tithe, you're not doing God right. And I want you to hear me. You're not sacrificing one thing if you don't pay your tithe. Because sacrificial giving That's what God owes. You owe God your tithe. You don't even start sacrificial giving until you get past your tithe. Somebody asked me a question, do you tithe? I'll tell you how serious I'm about it. I don't think you ought to let your right hand know what your left hand is, but I am the leader here. Go ask Jared Green if I tithe.
Amen.
He'll tell you. I don't want to know what anybody tithes because I'm carnal enough. But ladies and gentlemen, you want to end this thing? You want to magnify this king? You got to sacrifice. Amen. Now I'm preaching good tonight. Amen. These guys bought raisins and bread. I'm sure they had some T-bones there. And they probably had some shrimp on the barbie and some ahi tuna. And glory to God, Chad, you're going to take me out to eat tonight. And they had all that stuff. Hey, we got to be sacrificial if we're going to make him king. A king's worthy of gifts.
Amen.
And lastly, and I'm done. We had a little bit of this morning. In verse 40, the last phrase, and for there was joy in Israel. They were satisfied. They didn't have any joy when they were divided. See, we need everybody on the same page tonight. We need the deaf in the same page. We need the choir on the same page. The children ministry in the same page. We need the ushers on the same page. The soul winners on the same page. We need everybody.
Amen.
On the same page. You say, well, there's some things about you I don't like. Let me ask you if you like this. I love Jesus, and I want to keep people out of hell. Is that enough for you to unite on? You know what? I believe he deserves to be king in my life. Somebody help me preach. King Jesus! I wonder how many men, women, families would do this tonight. Just forget about who I am tonight. Come around this altar and declare that he's going to be king. Bring your marriage up here and declare he's going to be king. That's right, sir. Come on. Y'all don't have to wait on me. Bring your life here. He's king. Does he deserve to be king? I think people ought to be running out this altar. Stand with me. You come on. This ain't no hard invitation. I'm not after nobody tonight. You can tell by my attitude. But I do want to lift him up tonight. Just come around the altar and say, I want him king in my life. I'm following that recipe. Father, touch the invitation in Jesus' name.
I have desire.